That's like, I feel like I should be at the beach with that music or something right there, man. Well, good morning. Welcome to Life Point Church. I hope everybody is doing well. It is warm. Thank you so much for braving the cold weather and some of those icy, nasty back roads. So thank you all so much for being here and worshiping with us today. Let's give it up one more time for Jared and the team for leading worship. We appreciate them very, very much. In case you were wondering, Mike is taking this month off. He needs to address some things. He's getting ready. Him and his wife are getting ready to have a baby coming up in February. So he's taking a much-needed break off and just working on some things there and just enjoying the time off. So you'll probably see him around throughout this month, but he's taking a week off. And thankfully, we have someone like Jared that can step in and lead worship as well. So we're thankful for that. But today, we are continuing on with our current message series called Go Small. And what we've done in this series so far, we've been exploring the fact, kind of this thought that as, you know, the new year starts, we're thinking about things that we could do different or how we need to be different. Then it leads us to start looking at other people's lives sometimes, right? We get in that comparison game and we look at other people and we're like, man, they just have it so much more together than I do in this area of my life or that area of my life. And then you get overwhelmed by thinking, like, what huge life changes do I need to make to get those type of results? Like, what major things do I need to change? I got to change all these different things, and your mind can start racing, and it becomes overwhelming. And so what we've done is we've talked about how that's really not the case, and that instead we need to go small, right? Because we know from what we've discussed that it's often the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. Those big results often come from just focusing in and you know, narrowing down on the little bitty tweaks that we need to make in our life, and we need to do that consistently. So in week one, we kick things off by talking about how we need to pray and seek God for just one word, right? One word and one verse in 2018 that will guide our year. And hopefully you've done that and you've nailed that down, or if not, you know, you're continuing to work through that. Last week we talked about our thoughts, right? And how powerful our thoughts are, because they matter, right? What we think really matters. It's critical, because we know that what we think about, our thoughts, I mean, those become our words, right? And our words become our actions. Our actions become our habits, and our habits ultimately become who we are. It becomes our destiny, right? And it all starts just with those thoughts. So thoughts are important. So we talked about seeking God also for that one thought. And today, we're going to be focusing in on another small thing. It seems very small, but maybe the most powerful of all. Something that was really important and impactful to me. And I think that if we focus in this small area of our life and allow God to work in and through us with this one piece, man, I think that we can be radically transformed. And through this, not only can we be different and changed, but the people around us will be affected and changed as well. So today we're going to be talking about the power of our words. All right, the words that we speak. Words are incredibly, incredibly powerful. They're powerful. And whether you believe me or not, they are powerful. And hopefully you'll understand more, or we'll kind of come over to that side of things by the end if you push back on that a little bit. But they are. They're powerful. I mean, even from the very beginning in God's Word, starting in Genesis, we see like the creation account, right? And we see God says, "Let there be light." And there was light. I mean, it starts with a word. He proclaims it, "Let there be light." It kicks off that way. It's powerful. Words are powerful. We see it all through Scripture. King Solomon, probably the wisest guy to ever live, he says a lot about our words. He talks about our words a lot and how important and powerful they are. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, he says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." We're gonna focus in on this verse today. The tongue has the power of life and death. That's a verse right there, and that's a truth that you should claim and hold on to for the rest of your life. And never let that go, that your words, the tongue, has the power of life and death. So basically, you can either speak life-giving words or life-taking words. And that power is in your hands. To speak life-giving words or life-taking words, because our words have the power of both life and death. So in 2018, I want us to really receive and embrace this thought here, and it's this, that if you want to change the life you have, start by changing the words you speak. If there's these things in your life that you want to be different, you feel need to be different, or God's leading you to be different, why don't you start with changing the words that you speak? Because our words are powerful. Something very small can have huge, huge impact in your life. And again, like I said, in the lives of the people around you, because again, those are the words you're speaking, whether you're giving life-giving words or life-taking words. It's powerful. In fact, we see James, the brother of Jesus, clearly made this truth known as well, and he gives us these visuals, these examples of how something really small can lead to these huge results. In James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, he says this, he says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. The small bit can change the direction of this majorly huge creature, like this horse, right? A small bit can make that big of a difference. Then he goes on to say, a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. That rudder can change the course of that ship. Something small making a huge difference. Huge results out of that small rudder. And then he kind of connects the dots in verse 5 and he says this, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. You got a lot of responsibility in the small thing, right? The things that you speak, because they're powerful. You could say, like we've seen it all through history, like these grand speeches that motivate people to do incredible things. Incredibly good things, or incredibly toxic and hateful and chaotic things. We see it both. We've seen it all through history, we see it today. Because life and death can come from the words that we speak. Love, encouragement, motivation to do major and incredible and beautiful things, or hate, destruction, chaos. How are you going to choose to speak? What words are you going to put out there? Because there's both the power of life and death in the words that we speak. And ultimately, your life will always reflect the words that you choose. Life-giving words or life-taking words. And that's what your life will reflect. For example, if you show me a marriage that's struggling, right? Someone that's struggling in their marriage and a couple or a relationship, I guarantee you, if you look behind the scenes, you're going to see probably a lot of life-taking words being thrown back and forth between that relationship. But on the flip side, if you see an incredibly healthy marriage or relationship or friendship, you're going to see a lot of life-giving words. It's the same thing with, I know that there's people, whether you'll admit it or not, there's people that you kind of, that are in your life, whether it be a coworker or maybe a friend, acquaintance, I guess you could call them at this point, or a boss or whatever it is, that you kind of avoid them, right? You may not say that you do, but you kind of avoid them. You see them, you kind of walk the other way. And it's probably because they might hit you up with a lot of life-taking words. But on the flip side, there's those people that you always want around you. You want them in your inner circle. Like, you want to be around them as much as you can, and it's probably because they're always encouraging you. They're always speaking life into you. Those life-giving words are abundant in that relationship. Because our words have the power of both life and death. And again, like I said, King Solomon, he talked a lot about the words that we speak and how important they are. He gives us plenty of examples and these differences between life-giving words and life-taking words, and he kind of lays that out for us. So I want to check out a couple more passages of Scripture that we see from him about the importance and the power of our words. So in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, he says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords." How many of you have been pierced by a reckless word at some point in time in your life? Right? Right. They pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings what? Brings healing. So on that flip side, how many of you all have been encouraged and lifted up and healed by those life-giving words? Is everybody here? I know it's cold outside. Are we good? All right. Thank you. Yes, life-giving words. Man, it brings healing. It brings restoration. It's powerful. Our words matter. They matter greatly. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." Again, how many's had that spirit crushed? Right? Yeah. Words are powerful. They're incredibly, incredibly powerful. We have to be very careful with that responsibility to make sure that we're throwing out life-giving words, not life-taking words. And we should focus in on that. We've got to make sure that our words are where they're supposed to be. Because words matter. They're critical. They're powerful. I mean, I think about in my life that I try to really focus in on this, especially with my family, with my kids, and with my spouse. I'm always trying to make sure that I'm throwing out life-giving words. You know, saying things like, you know, one of the phrases that me and my wife encourage each other with constantly is, "You got this." We'll say that to each other all the time, or we'll text when we're going through some tough times. "Hey, you got this. You've got this." I think about recently when my wife she just finished her doctorate, and she had worked for a year and a half on this dissertation, and she had it done, wrapped up, ready to go, and sent it in. Her, you know, one of the people on her dissertation committee was like, "It looks great," and sent it out to the others, and they're like, "Oh no, these statistics right here are off. You ran the wrong test. So you're gonna have to change that." And she was supposed to defend in like 2 weeks. And that's a big thing. We're talking like 60 pages worth of information that she had to go back and tweak. And she was done. She was so frustrated. She was tired of being in school. And, you know, and so I'm like, I just got to give life-giving words here. I've got to encourage her. "You've got this. You can do this. You've worked so hard. And you've done beautifully. And they believe you can do this. I believe you can do this. So go knock it out. You've got this." And it made the difference. It wasn't fun, I'm sure. Wasn't fun for me either, but much more so for her. But it's life-giving words are powerful. It can bring healing. I've also, unfortunately, at times, probably thrown out way too many life-taking words. In those moments of frustration, said things that I probably shouldn't. Equally, when she was working on her doctorate, probably about a year and a half into it, she got really discouraged. And she's like, "You know, I've been in school for like ever, like all of Sawyer's life, but like 6 months." And I said, "Yeah, by choice." Not the right thing to say. Was not life-giving. It was a little bit of life-taking. It was just in my ignorance and just kind of spewing out what I, you know, right off the top of the head. But it matters. It was discouraging that I said that. So we've got to guard our words. We've got to be very careful because they have the power of both life and death. So just like we did last week, I want to kind of set this baseline for where we're at, on where we're at with our words. Last week, we did a thought audit, right? We worked through kind of what our thoughts are, and we're honest with ourselves and said, "This is where I'm at right now, and this is where I need to go." So we'll do the same thing today with our words. And so what I want to do is I want to specifically focus on the words that you speak to others, but I also want to focus on the words that you speak to yourself. That self-talk, right? So let's start with the words that you speak with others. So again, on a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to think about that scale of 1 to 10. Write it down on on a piece of paper or type it into your phone, whatever you do. But on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being that you're consistently throwing out life-taking words, and 10 being the good side that you're putting out life-giving words. So think about your words to other people, to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, to people here in this church. Where are your words? Are your words to others life-giving, or are they life-taking? Are you saying things like, man, like, you never do a good job. You're always screwing up. Why do you keep doing this? I think the only thing that you know how to do good is annoy me. Like, what's wrong with you? Are you saying words like that? Are you being really critical all the time for the sake of being critical? If so, you're probably like 1, 2, 3, or 4. You're kind of in that range. Or are you giving life-giving words? Is that what you're putting out there? Man, I appreciate you so much. Man, I know it's tough right now, but you can do that. You can do this. You got this. God's got you. Be encouraged. Man, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for you in my life. Man, you did such a good job on that project at work. Good job. Are you throwing out those life-giving words? Are you encouraging people? If that's the case, you're probably more in the, 8, 9s, 10s, right? You're up there. Are you throwing out and speaking more life-giving or life-taking words to other people? Take a second, be honest with yourself, and I want you to write that down. Or if you need to really think about it, it's probably not that hard, but if you need to think about that throughout the day today. And be honest with yourself, because you can't move forward until you're honest with yourself. What are your words to other people? 1 to 10. 1, life-taking, or 10, life-giving. Now, what about the words we speak to ourselves? And I think this one's critical. I think this one's really important. I think this is one that we neglect far too often, or the words that we speak to ourselves. Your self-talk, right? Your inner talk. Is it more life-giving or is it life-taking? Do you say things to yourself like, man, you're going to fail. Every single time, you're just going to fail. This is the way, this is just the way my life goes. Poor, pitiful me, right? Or just, I'm such a failure. I'm never going to do this. I'm just always going to tank. It's just blah, 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 blah. Is your self-talk negative like that? Is it life-taking? Or is it life-giving? Man, God, I know that you brought me to this, so I know you'll bring me through it. Man, even though this frustrating thing happened or this terrible thing's going on, God, I know that you got me and you're going to work this out for the good because I love you. And I know that I'm called according to your purpose, and I know you got me. Hey, even though this is going on, I'm blessed. I'm going to focus on all those blessings that I have as opposed to this one little inconvenient thing that's going on. Man, I'm struggling through this, God, but I know that you got my back, and I know you're going to pull me through, and I know I can overcome this. What is your self-talk? More life-giving or life-taking? Number it. Label it. Identify with where you're at. If it's more life-taking, the lower end of that spectrum on that list, 1 to 10. Or life-giving, up there in the 8s, 9s, 10s. Where do you fall? Where do you fall in that? Now, how many of you would be honest and say that on that scale, 1 to 10, side by side, that your life-giving words to other people is a lot higher than your life-giving words to yourself? Yeah, I mean, that's where I fall on that. It's a lot easier for me to give those life-giving words to others than it is for myself, unfortunately. And I think a lot of us fall into that category from time to time where we will focus on that for other people, but when it comes to ourselves, sometimes we're pretty critical of ourselves. But our words matter. They're so important. And man, if you didn't score a 10 on both of those, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person. But what it means is you have some work to do on your words. And you need to put in that work because it is critical. It's critical. It's very important because our words are powerful. If you want to change the life that you live, man, change the words that you speak. Change the self-talk that you speak to yourself. And man, I think that if you really focus in on this one small thing, your life can be radically different. The lives of those around you will be very different, and this church will be very different if we focus on the words that we say, if we are focused on life-giving words and not life-taking words. Words are powerful. So with that said, I want to give you two very simple yet very powerful biblical guidelines that we pull straight from Scripture that'll help us to increase the amount of life-giving words that we speak. Again, whether it be to others or to ourselves, but if we focus on these things, it will help us increase the amount of life-giving words we speak. And the first one is this. If you can't say something helpful, skip it. Simple. If you can't say something helpful, skip it. It's just like we were taught all of our lives as little kids. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. So if you don't have something helpful to say, shut your mouth. Don't say it. Skip it. It's okay to do that. And it seems like a small thing, but man, it can be so powerful in your life and in someone else's life. And again, it's incredibly biblical. Paul, he said it like this in Ephesians 4, verse 29. He says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Man, that is powerful, powerful words right there. That's a powerful truth. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is beneficial and helpful to build other people up. If we made sure that every word that we said to someone else was helpful in building them up, our relationships, man, would be radically changed. Our community would be radically changed. Our world would begin to change if that's how we approached our words. I mean, think about how marriages would be if the only words you said to your spouse were things that were helpful to build them up. Not tear them down, not life-taking, but life-giving. Or your relationships, your relationships with your coworkers, your relationship with that person that you work with day in and day out that you disagree with, pretty much with everything. But if you made sure the things that you said were only those that were helpful and were building them up and you loved them through your words, man, things would be so, so different. So, man, I encourage you to put this guideline into action that if you don't have something to say that's helpful, man, just skip it. It'll be powerful. It's biblical. We need to do that. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? The second scriptural guideline that we find, and man, I love this one. I've put this into practice in my life over the past several years, and it has been transformational. And it's this: if you think something good, man, say it. If you think something good, say it. Give it life. Don't just keep it a thought, but throw it out there. If you think it, say it. Proverbs 16:24 says this: "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." And notice what it said here. It doesn't say that gracious thoughts are like a honeycomb. It says gracious words. Right? Gracious words, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. If you think something good, don't let it stay a thought, but release it. Give it life. Put it out there as words. Man, I'm telling you, this has radically transformed many of my relationships. I think about how it's changed me and how, honestly, and I don't say this arrogantly, but it's changed other people. I think about a year or so ago, and this is the one that stands out to me the most, is, and I've told this here before, but I had a friend that I've known since college. I used to play in a band with that moved away and has been doing a lot of touring and things like that, and I haven't seen him in a while, and I just shot him a text one day and said, "Hey, brother, I haven't seen you in a while. I hope you're doing well. Man, I was just thinking about you. I'm praying for you today. I love you." And he hit me back, and I haven't texted with this guy in months, and he's like, "Man, I needed that today. You have no idea what's going on. I'm going to call you later." And then he called me, and man, his marriage was crumbling. His career was crumbling. His life was in shambles. I had no clue. But God put it on my heart to say something good to him that day and to reach out to him. So I did. That's nothing of me. That was just following the thought that God put in my heart. And he's doing well today, and he's done a lot of tough work, and we have that back and forth now quite a bit. But if you think something good, say it. I think about, for me, just this week, I had a friend of mine that's also a pastor just randomly text me that said, "Hey, just want you to know I'm praying for you today. I love you. Let me know if you need anything." I needed to hear that. I needed that text that morning. I think about 3 weeks ago, I was at a prayer meeting here with Pastor Rogers' church that he has on Wednesday night. And afterwards, Soraya came to me and just said, "You can do this. Keep going. Keep pushing." And man, I needed that so bad that day. Like, she has no clue how much I needed that. It was a God-given thing that I needed that day. It was only God. But God gave her that thought. And if she would have kept it a thought, then I would have missed out on that blessing. But she released it. She was faithful. And she released that word, those words to me, those life-giving words that I needed to hear. Because our words are incredibly, incredibly powerful. They have the power of both life and death. So if you think something good, man, say it. Don't rob them of that blessing. Say it. Send them a text. Write them a letter. Send them an email. Give them a call. Go to their house. Say it. It's not hard. It's very easy. It's a small thing that has big, big results because our words matter. I mean, this doesn't just apply to other people either. If you think something good about yourself, say it. Encourage yourself. That's not arrogant. That's biblical. We see David doing that in 1 Samuel. He was in a position where he knew that people were trying to get him, and he was afraid he was going to be killed, that he was going to be stoned to death. And he began to speak life-giving words to himself. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, at the end of that verse, the beginning of the verse talks about where he was going, and it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." He encouraged himself. He spoke life-giving words to himself. He didn't just think them, he spoke them. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Man, things are tough right now, but God, I know that you led me to this point, and I know that you will be faithful. And I know that you can do incredible things through me, and I'm going to trust that. God, because you love me, you have plans to prosper me, not to harm me, and you encourage yourself in the Lord, in his truth, and his promises. Our words are powerful. So if you want to increase the amount of life-giving words that you speak to both others and to yourself, first, if you can't say something helpful, skip it. Don't say it. Do us all a favor. Keep your mouth shut, right? But if you think something good, man, say it. Don't let it stay a thought. Speak it. Speak that truth. Speak that word that God gave you to encourage somebody else. Our words are powerful. So in week one, I asked you to seek God for one word, right? For one word that would guide your year. Last week I talked about seeking God for one thought. So to stay consistent here, I'm going to ask you to seek God for one statement. One statement that will guide you through this year. That should weave all between your word and your thought. And you may be thinking, well, can my statement actually be my thought? Trying to cut corners? Yeah, it can. But the difference is don't let it stay a thought. Give it life. Make it a word. Don't keep it just a thought. Make it a statement. A statement that you say over and over and over again that you encourage yourself in the Lord with. throughout this year. So, for example, I've told you each week that in 2016 and 2017, I had to keep the same word, and it was trust, right? My word, my one word was trust. My one thought was, what's the point of stressing out and worrying about things when God is in control and is victorious? That was my thought. So I had to remember that. But then I had to release it into a word and into a statement, and it was simply, trust your God. Trust your God. Andy, trust your God. What you understand, I'm coming up against, trust your God. Trust your God. He's victorious. He's in control of all things. And through him, I'm more than a conqueror. So trust your God. Say it over and over and over. I've had to say that over and over and over and over again. I've had to do that this year already. 2018 has been a roller coaster for me and my family. Already, I'll just being honest. It's been a tough year. What is it, 14 days? Woo! It's been rough. We've had pipes freeze in our house twice. I got to go pick up my car from the shop later today and then get a new alternator. My daughter has had the flu and pneumonia. My wife currently is at home with the flu. 14 days. It's been great. But I'm going to trust my God. I'm not going to sit there and whine about it. Yeah, I might joke. I might say some things, you know, out on Instagram. I've already thrown something out at the auto shop. Like, 2018's got the upper hand. Hashtag still blessed. I'm blessed. I'm going to speak positive words, good words, life-giving words to myself and to others. And I'm going to focus on that one statement of trust your God. Trust your God. Life-giving words. Man, our words are powerful. If you want to change the life you live, change the words you speak. Our words are so powerful. I know I've said that 50 times probably if you're keeping count. I know someone probably is with little tick marks. It's okay. Words are powerful. So you're going to have to choose what you're going to do with it. That's your responsibility. And we've seen from Scripture what we're supposed to do with it. We're supposed to give life-giving words. Life-giving words. And I want you to focus on that. We're not going to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only what is helpful for others. Only what is helpful for yourself. Only what is true. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Only what is true. Like we said last week, take those thoughts captive, make it obedient to Christ. Same thing with your words. Make it obedient to Christ and speak those life-giving words. It makes all the difference. It will radically transform your life and the life of those around you. A small thing makes huge, huge difference because it's not those major changes, but it's the small things, right, done consistently that results in the big things that everyone wants. So let's focus on our words. Get rid of those life-taking words and speak life-giving words to yourself and to others. Let's pray. God, we thank you again so much for your truth. The truth of your word, God, the fact that we have access to every God-inspired word there. And that we can live by it. We can be encouraged by it. Encouraged through you, God. You can speak to us, Father. We're so thankful for that. God, and as we move forward in our service today, God, I pray for each person in here, Lord, that you would speak to them. Reveal yourself to them, God. Encourage them. God, may we begin to focus on the words that we say. That we would be obedient to your truth and release those life-giving words 24/7. And God, when it's tough for us to do that, God, may you work through us and you give us the power and the courage to either skip those things that aren't helpful and then to speak those things that are loving, that are admirable, and to speak that truth over people's lives. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here, and that all sounds great, all well and good, but man, you've never come into a relationship with God. You've never truly connected to the Father. You've never stepped over that line of faith, placing your faith and trust completely 100% in Him. And if that's you this morning, don't hold back. Don't push Him away. Embrace Him. Receive Him. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that Scripture says that He gave His only Son for you. His Son Jesus, who died and rose again for you. He did that so you could be made right with Him. Forgiven. Transformed. Made new. Through Christ and Christ alone. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Him, you've never claimed that truth, I encourage you, just call out to God today. Give Him your all. Give Him your life. It'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. It's just to lay it all to Him. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose Him from the grave, that you will be saved. You will be connected to the Father. So if that's you this morning, just call out to God however He leads. Just confess and believe. Confess that you're in need of a Savior, that you're not perfect. Confess that He is the one and only way. Believe that in your heart, that He died and rose again for you. And just receive that gift, the gift of salvation. Connect it to the Father. But as we continue, maybe you are a Christ follower and your words have not been where they need to be. Your words are not where they need to be in your relationships, in your marriage, in your friendships, to yourself, to others. You find yourself in this cycle of constantly throwing out life-taking words. And make that change today. Figure out where you're at. Be honest with yourself. Begin to change the words you speak. The words you speak to others and the words you speak to yourself. It'll be transformational, I promise. Not because I said it, because we see it clearly in Scripture. So today, as Jared plays a song here in a second, we'll have some of our leaders up here. If you would like someone to pray over you, you come up and they will pray over you. If you have questions about salvation or anything like that, feel free to come talk to us. Or you can sit there from your seat. Do the same. However He leads you, but you do business with God.